right, okay.
It's pretty normal.
Okay, Bert, I've got some notes here. We need to go over the details of the private session. You got anything you want to start off with?
Yes, Bob. There was one thing. I don't even think I want to even bring it up, but there was one point that you probably should have never brought up in your private session.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ian said that I did bring some. I didn't delete something that I was supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you want to bring that up?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't know if I should, because if someone listening, it just it. Well, actually, yeah. Ian's in charge. Okay, I know it is. You gave the time that you go for your walk.
Oh yeah, no, I'm so fucking protected, Bert. That's not what. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Those cats are there, and they may be waiting to rip my throat out, but they're kind of look like they're protecting me. Meanwhile, because. They don't know if I'm the guy or not, so they don't want to kill the wrong guy. So, they're not going to anybody else. If somebody else attacked me, they'd rip that guy's head off. Because they say, oh, this is the Dark Soul, and somebody's jumping ahead, or they get rid of him and then come after me. They want to get the credit. They want to get that $1 million bounty.
Hey, Bob, have you, I mean, besides, okay, these cats now that you've been seeing on your walk, and then, but before that, have you had any interaction with cats before that?
No. But I never did any. I never walked in the middle of the night. I ignore animals. No, really, I don't recall. I don't see them. I wasn't in the. You know, these cats, they sit out there every night, all nicely and snug on the wall, regardless of the weather, and they just sit there. And sometimes I'll walk towards them and they'll run away. But I never had an opportunity to see them till this walk. I wasn't walking around in the middle of the night to see the cats. There are people who feed the cats down by the beach, and I've never supported that action, and because on City Island, Roger the Nut was feeding all these cats. He had 100 of them in his house. It was fucking nut. And so I've never had a good image of cat lovers. And the one woman who's in the beach walk for years, she's temperamental. One minute she's yelling at me, next minute she loves me. And she's a cat woman, so they're all nuts, man. They run their whole life every day. They have to come out and feed a fucking cat or a bunch of them. Every day they have to do it. And I know when she's on vacation because someone else is doing it. And she has to get someone else to do it, so it's a big bother.
Yeah, you got a long pussy.
Can I ask a question about the cats?
What did Richard say? I think that was Richard. What'd you say, Richard?
You gotta love pussy.
Well, I know what pussy is, for fuck's sake. You know, I'm not fooled by a cat. It's not pussy.
Hello. I'm just funny.
Yeah, okay. Who wanted to ask a question?
Madeline.
Maggie, then me.
What's with you, Maggie? You're never around much anymore. What's going on?
She's working.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
you basically will never be there on Tuesday, right?
I think next Tuesday I'm. Oh, see, but there's no. Yeah.
Are you keeping up with the private sessions and everything?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I listened to the What Youth the next day.
Right.
And
that's pretty good.
I always definitely listen to the private sessions at least twice.
So who are you listening to in the Netherlands? Who do you pay attention to now?
Are you talking to me? I'm not in the Netherlands.
No. Yeah, the Netherlands, the wastelands. Who are you listening to other than us?
Oh,
the wastelands.
Yeah, really? I kind of skim stuff. I mostly look at Ed's site, and even on Ed, it's become
Ed's site's very good. Ed's site's tremendous.
Yeah, but he posts some stuff that seems mighty dubious to me. I don't know. I feel like... Shit, I'm not going to articulate what I feel like well.
You have never done that, Maggie. We don't expect that.
Yeah, I know.
We expect confusion from you.
Okay, well, what I see is a lot of really obvious fakery, and then a lot of agendas. I'm getting more and more how it is. Okay, right. I got no thoughts.
Yeah, you have nothing to say, man. Maggie, you never did. Okay, give it a go, though. It was always opening for a rehearsal.
No, I would just like to ask my question, if I may, please.
Oh, okay. You're giving up on your attempt to... Maggie, you abort so many sentences through the years. You were saying there. You're trying to say something, then just fade it out. So try to say it. I don't know. How do you tell fakery? I mean... What's fakery?
Jesus freaking Christ. They used video game footage and movie footage and called it Ukraine, the Ukraine War on TV. And then they have, like, the same people dying in the Ukraine who already died in some other thing. You know, like, the same people are showing up. And then, like, the bombing... The strollers and shopping carts and shit are all standing upright, and they've got these dead, blown-up bodies lying next to them. Like, the bomb only touched the people, and none of the other... Fuck, it's like, you don't even have to try.
Well, I think the bodies, I'm thinking, based on what I said tonight, the bodies are people who died from the BAT2, and then they put a white armband and a bullet hole in the head to pretend that he died from shooting, but they're all collapsing from the virus.
Oh, that's a fun angle. Good grief.
Yeah.
But you can look at it and see that it's not what they're telling you it is. Whatever it is, it ain't what they're saying.
Right. Well, it's getting really exciting now. Ed's showing footage of people rioting in stores and grabbing food. It's going to be incredible.
Looting the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was this one street,
a mob of
people in the street. They're all running to the store. A huge number of people down the main street someplace.
The alien TikToks were great, but you discussed a little bit on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool that they're doing that. But anyway, speaking of aliens, when Ion was speaking about the cats, did they say that cats are aliens?
Yeah, they have alien eyes.
I think they were ambivalent. What did they say, Bert? I don't think it got
precise.
Well,
they were talking about alien eyes and cat eyes and people eyes, but I was not clear on what they were saying exactly.
Yeah, like, they're looking to kill me. So that might be on behalf of the angels. I didn't figure out I don't have a precise image of what they're doing. The gecko, the little gecko was beaming to other species. Other species.
Yeah, and if cats have alien eyes, then go look at a goat.
Yeah,
their eyes are much bigger.
Goats
and
really look weird.
They have demonic eyes.
Really weird. Yeah, demonic eyes, that's for sure.
Who has the demonic eyes? Goats?
Goats. Yeah, that looks really weird. You look at them in the eyes, you're like, damn. Hey, but I wasn't clear about the cats, because he said alien, and then they talked about angel.
Yeah.
It was all mixed up. It wasn't clear.
Yeah. Like, they're not, they don't want to say for some reason.
Well, it's a curious thing happened right before my cat died. Well, a few days before, but something happened. I was looking at her, and she absolutely changed. And I thought she looked like an alien all of a sudden.
Mm.
It was the strangest thing.
That lately?
But anyway, it was a few years ago.
There was a time when Helen was talking about, when they were talking about the cat that was walking with them and stopping and walking, I said something.
Oh, yeah. They were blocking Linda and Christy. Yeah, or
found that
Lisa
strange.
And Christy.
Found that really
strange. Yeah, so what were you saying about that, Susanna?
I said at that point that some of those cats, because you talked more about cats during your watch, too, that you see them, and Carolyn talked more about it, and they said that cats, some of them are aliens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you mentioned the Egyptians are afraid of cats, but I didn't get the point there.
They protect the spirits. They guard the spirits in the tombs.
Well, yeah. I only said they chase off boogers.
Yeah. I mean, they protect the bodies,
but
the
Egyptians were afraid of them. They keep them around on purpose to keep the place clean.
Yeah, like tomb guards for boogers. But those are strange. I found that strange about the cat walking in front and stopping them, making them stop. I'm around cats all the time, and I've never had a cat do that to me.
Well, Bert, these are three people on our products, you know, Lisa, Christy, and Carolyn.
Yeah.
And nature is non-physical, so they're picking up something. You know, they can pick up something. You fucking aren't normal human people. What are you guys doing? You ascending?
There was a cat down the street from me who would leap out from wherever it was hiding when I went down that side of the street and run ahead of me, fling itself down on the sidewalk in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'd keep walking and it would run ahead and do it again.
Well, they'd fling itself down and try to get scratched?
Yeah. It would get in the way and it would make me have to walk much more slowly.
It's probably the products.
Me from being hit by a car.
Yeah, it's probably the products doing that to them. You guys heard about the horse. Did I tell that story?
No.
The, you know, Carolyn has the Amish community. The doctors are, their medicine, whatever it wasn't working. So they found out about Carolyn, so Carolyn told them, they accepted it, and they kind of imposed it on a lot of the doctors in the Amish world. Well, the other day, a horse was lying down, dying and frothing in bad shape, and the veterinarian came in. This is an Amish horse, and the veterinarian came in and he looked at it. Now, you're going to have to kill this horse. We can't fix it. I can't do anything. And then some Amish person rushed in with a needle and injected picosilver in the horse, and the horse was up and running around within 24 hours.
Damn.
Wow.
That's not placebo. That's not placebo.
No. Not with an animal. Wow.
And so that is a monumental thing.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to, you know, we're not bragging about it because the veterinarian mafia would come in and say, you better prove this. You can't have this happening. You guys are fucking demons or something. So it's just going to be talked about by word of mouth. But that is so important. I mean, in the horse industry, if they found out about this, right?
Wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably make the horse run faster, too.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Yeah, Sheldon, that's him. He's making horse cakes with magnesium in it.
Oh, yeah, you mean Sheldon from like 5 years ago and we haven't heard from for years?
Yes.
Yeah.
That Sheldon.
Yeah. You know what he's doing?
He's doing horse cakes with magnesium in it.
Hmm.
To have them...
Was that working?
Muscle problems, yes.
Oh, yeah, he was the horse guy.
Yes.
He's the horse whisperer.
Rewrite. From Rewrite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, way back there.
Yeah, I remember him.
So, Gene is doing his horse, and Gene is treating her chicken now with with the magnesium.
No.
You talked about them, but you never did them.
No, I followed Sheldon's protocol. Hold on a second. I just friggin'... I shot up from a horizontal position, so give me just a second here. Sheldon, I've been using... I haven't been in touch with Sheldon for a few years, but I'm using the brand he uses of what they call a ration balancer, which is minerals that you give to a horse. And then he's also added magnesium chloride. I buy, it's actually ice melt. It's actually bags of melting agent, but it's straight 100% magnesium chloride. And that's what I add to the supplement for my horses. And, you know, I know that they've improved a lot from that. I also would like to be able to afford Remag for them, because I think there's a number of issues that would make a difference with horses. But if that horse, Bob, had colic and Pico Silver took care of colic, I'm really curious. I'm going to track Sheldon down.
Yeah.
Ion gave a recipe for horse cookies a few years ago, but I don't know if Sheldon is actually making them.
That was with linseeds and apples, wasn't it? Dried apples.
Ion's recipe?
Yeah. It's vague in my mind, but it's
well,
there. And magnesium, of course.
And then they changed it, yeah. They started, the first recipe was dried apples and oats and molasses. And then they switched it up and started talking about their sorghum again. I can't think of the brand or the name of it right now, but it's a certain kind of sorghum that was supposed to be really good.
Black.
And he changed... Yeah, it's black. And he changed the fruit, too, from apple to something else that I can't remember. So he's given two recipes.
I went on Radio Free Ion a couple of nights ago, just to try to hear any questions I could re-ask Ion that he's spoken about. And it was an episode with you and Evan Ray back in 2009. And I think I caught the end of it, but Evan asked Ion for confirmation about a virus in Ukraine. And Ion said... yeah, it's bad, and 640,000 Ukrainians have got this virus. And then the topic got changed onto something else.
Mm.
But that was 2009.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I thought, well, I'm sure I haven't heard anything about a virus in Ukraine prior to the current conflict.
How come Jean's phone, when she talked, it was clear, and then you come on, Phil, and it vibrates? For me, that's how I perceive it.
I'll move the speaker further away from my mouth. Does that make a difference?
Maybe, slightly. But say some words, Jean. So remarkable how clear you were. There was no echo going on at all.
Ion, did the Amish horse who was healed by Pico Silver have colic?
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Is that, what's significant about that?
It can't be. Colic is when a horse, it's usually with grass, it causes the intestines to bind up
and kind of, and actually not up, and it's, it really bothers the horse, and so the horse lays down and rolls around, and that causes the intestines to get more twisted, and it can't be corrected. The horse has to be put down because you can't get the horse into the vet, to the emergency room fast enough to open up the horse to straighten out the intestines. So, you know, unless maybe racehorses are, you know, horses of high value, but other than that...
So that's pretty amazing that the horse had colic and got healed.
That's amazing.
Very,
and
very
also,
amazing.
Pico Silver surprises me because I would think it would be the Remag that relaxes the intestine, you know, and softens everything so that everything can move through the intestine. What happens is it blocks everything that's in the intestine, and then the system basically backs up in the horse because it can't keep moving through. And so I've always thought it would be the Remag, but they shot the horse up with Pico Silver. That's fascinating. I don't get that. It's not a bacteria problem. So that's really interesting. And it could be, Bob, because I'm on SIP, that you're not hearing any feedback. And you're hearing...
What would that do?
I don't know.
Are you on SIP,
Phil? Different kind of connection.
I was thinking the same thing as Eugene. I don't understand how the...
No, I'm on an iPhone.
How the silver would have that effect. So now I'm thinking there must be something special else going on with that silver.
Yeah,
you know,
because
what I mean?
colic, you have to break up the blockage.
Maybe it's the Pico size. So small, it goes in there, you know, goes into all the old tissues and loosen things up. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Because it's so small.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, there's a non-physical substance in the eye cell in there, so it's all magical.
The eye cell is in the silver as well?
Yeah, it's in all our products. It's
Oh.
Well, that's what it is then.
Yeah.
Because that is not about just killing the bacteria, you know.
Yeah.
There's something else going on there for sure.
I'm really,
that's
really
curious really
cool. how much Pico Silver was used also.
I was thinking that, too. For a horse, would they shoot a gallon into him or
what? Well, the syringes can be pretty big for a horse or a cow. But
just think that they had the presence to try that experiment.
Hey, I just asked Dial online about
it. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, Bert. That doesn't surprise me. The Amish are so connected to nature, and, you know, that... Because, I've had many thoughts with the animals, and I can imagine the Amish just... The Amish doctors, Bert, they know that very natural, you know, the way the body...
Okay, was this an Amish doctor? Because what Bob said, the doctor came and said he wanted to put him down, and someone came and did it, you know, someone else did it.
Yeah.
So.
It was an Amish person, and did it.
Right. An Amish animal specialist, maybe. Maybe he won't, you know.
No, just kind of like a citizen.
Just a regular Amish person?
Yes,
the owner.
Admirer of Carolyn.
Sure, the owner would be willing to sacrifice that amount of Pico Silver to save the horse. I still want to know how much they injected.
How much do you give your cats?
Many years ago, Carolyn and I had a conversation, and I figured out what was proportionate to an animal by weight. So I just calculated in proportion to a 150-pound human. You know, I just used the regular whatever is recommended, the 2 teaspoons, I guess 2 teaspoons of Remag for 150 pounds, and calculated that down to a 15-pound cat.
Oh. Okay.
And then I'd have to recalculate again, but I'm pretty sure I cut that in half because I was concerned about overdosing. And it worked out. Once a day, I give 8 drops of Remag and 6 drops of Remite. But I think that's only half if I just haven't calculated for a long time. I'm pretty sure I don't do it twice a day. That's a BID proportional amount. And the chickens, I put 1/4 teaspoon of Remag, 1/4 teaspoon of Remite, 1/4 teaspoon of Recalcia, and 1/4 teaspoon of Pico Silver in, I don't know, I think it's a 2-liter container. And then I just fill up their water bowl as we go with that. And they had diarrhea, but so I backed off a little bit on the Remag.
Do you give them silver as well?
Yes, always. Yes, I always do silver in the water. And I've healed Marvin, my cat that I got as a kid.
Ion said yes to that 640,000 Ukrainians.
I've healed a...
Sorry, Jane. Just wanted to get that out there before it disappeared.
No problem.
I'm still there.
Oh, is it that time? What time is it? 7:20. Oh, it's not early.
Is Bob still there?
Yeah, Bob's got to be around.
Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. We haven't started.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to ask a question. Just wanted to make sure you're still, on the call. It seems like there's a delay on this phone. You notice that, Bob?
Yep, I hear it. No, I don't hear the delay. I hear you.
Okay. So, anyways, you know what I was... My question that came up was that the ascended person, right? You know how you don't think, you never mind? You remember the conversation that you're having with Ion? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the little man, or, the descended man, I guess, is that... if you're ascended, and Ion's always said this over the years, is that you just know, meaning that you don't really, you don't think about anything as opposed to descended man. So, take me for example or anyone else, I don't know anything about astrophysics, right? Or, high mathematics or medicine, those sorts of things. We think that they ought to, if you automatically know, as an ascended person, you automatically know all those details. Is that correct, or has that ever been explored? I don't think it's ever been explored.
No, you know the irrelevance of those ideas. Like, if you're ascended, you can't get sick. You don't need to know anything about medicine. You're not going to get sick. You alter your body's health situation if you detect something happening.
Yeah, okay, so that's medicine, though, but...
You control your being.
Well, Bob, yeah,
okay, so
you say you...
Hold on a second, one second. If I wanted to build... Okay, I just got ascended, right? And I want to go ahead and build a spaceship. Right? I would actually know all that information, but...
You wouldn't build a spaceship. You just start parallel worlding.
Now, see, you understand the point, though. We can go through this, and you can just keep on improving my ideas, but what I'm trying to, the point being is that would you actually know the dynamics of doing it if you just wanted to do it? That's my point.
I don't know. I don't know if that's knowing.
Yeah, I look at it like all the extensions that little man uses go away when you're ascended. That's my understanding. And, you know, we don't need a car or a spaceship or medicine because our beingness just sort of moves us around and fixes anything that might be going awry. Like, it happens autonomically and not, you don't have to know medicine to fix your body.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a knowing, or not a thinking thing, not a figuring out.
Yeah, you know the place of contrast, though contrast strangely dims. You understand why contrast happens, and it doesn't throw you.
Hmm. Okay, so I kind of get, understand what you guys are saying. I think it needs to be explored a little bit more, though, you know?
Well, okay. Are we ascended here at Idem? Because we make these products and more fantastic stuff is coming. We're making things.
You're doing that for unascended, ascending.
No, we do it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make ourselves better, more capacity. We don't believe we don't treat sickness. We don't deal with illness. You heard Ion did that rant. Carol said, you know, the AMA or somebody says, you're not going to practice medicine. She says, I don't practice medicine. You're not going to be a doctor. I'm not a doctor. You remember that rant tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. A private session.
Yeah.
She just said, I want to make people well. So she makes people well by making these products, by talking to the voice from the Garden of Eden. Remember, the voice was in the Garden of Eden. I think that was last week's content. And not that the voice was God, but it was a voice that had a tailgate every day with Adam and Eve. That's what we do with Ion.
Sure, it wasn't just a guy out there with a speaker in the Garden of Eden, and he's just talking to somebody, and they're like, where's that voice coming from?
Could have been. It didn't matter. It was engaging, and I guess things were done with it.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolyn just listens to Ion. Ion tells Carolyn how to make it. Basically, Ion spends a lot of time telling Carolyn what the science mainstream science says and how it's wrong, and then she's told how you correct the concepts about it, and she quote memorizes it, and she knows what to say when people have little man questions about our substances. But that's just in dealing with them. We're not spending all day dealing with them. We're taking the products. We're making them.
You work through a lab?
Well, Carolyn's kitchen right now, she doesn't have a lab, but she has the kitchen. She makes stuff in the kitchen that Ion tells her to do.
Wow.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Yeah. And we have other people doing stuff.
Yeah, you'd think you'd need a lab or something to get you down there.
Well, I don't know how much you're supposed to talk about that stuff, but there's other people. Oh, look at that. Bob, stop talking shit, see? I can't fucking say anything. I'm in jail. I'm in jail, people. Free me. See if you can break me out of
you're
jail.
Free, Bob.
What?
I said, you are now free.
Okay.
That was before. That post was when you were talking before, Bob. It was a few minutes ago.
I was talking before. What? What are you saying?
That post that Ion put on there about stop talking shit was a few minutes ago.
Okay, what was I talking about?
With the horse. I was during the horse conversation.
Oh,
right
yeah,
before that.
Yeah. Okay, so if Robin is there, when I click on the Maui McLuhan on Maui, on my timeline, they work. So, Robin, they should work. Next point. When I was explaining the antiphonal horn, the antiphonal organs, the carillon, the antiphonal, you had the pipe organs, 128 stops, blasting, Ian said, and over in the other corner of the room were horns blasting. As I listened to it tonight, that's the Zappa concert we heard.
Hmm.
Horns and the rest of the band blasting at each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat, eh?
Yeah, it's funny, Bob, when you asked that question, because I always had a question reminding me, I wanted to ask Ian about that many, many years ago when I heard them, because they used that with me, antiphonal, when they were speaking with me, and I'm like,
yeah.
I wanted
you
to know what
that was. You wanted to ask more about it?
Yeah, no, I wanted to know what, so I appreciate you bringing that up. I'm like, that is an old question I had, because when Ian came up with it, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, and Karen let it ride. So after a while, I came in and said, ask what antiphonal means. I don't think you know what it is. And then we got the whole metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Which was what we heard. Did you want to say something about the concert, Bert?
Yes. You brought out a note. After listening to those drummers for the 42 minutes, I heard a lot of their drumming, and it's amazing the drumming in that concert.
Yeah.
That you played. The drumming is...
It's loud as drums. I've never heard the drums so loud in Zappa.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to Rush?
Fuck that shit. Come on. Don't bring up anybody else. You fucking idiot. Come on. Did you hear the concert, Richard?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Fucking go listen to it.
No,
right
I'll do the link. Listen to it.
Yeah, look, that fucking was a lousy audience audio, yet it was still, cosmic. Just the powers of them. Now imagine being there live, where he has perfect sound setup. I've been there. I said it felt like an E.T. You're watching an E.T. happen. Extraterrestrial view.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. You have four drummers in it?
No. Probably two, but there's a YouTube of Zappa's drummers on YouTube, and if you go into YouTube, if you go on the YouTube and say Zappa's drummers, you'll get, and there are four drummers drumming, and it's phenomenal to hear four drummers drumming, and it's 42 minutes of bliss if you like percussion.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Rush is a drummer; he was pretty good, but having four phenomenal drummers, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So there were two in his band in the mid-70s. Two and two other drummers got together and had a discussion about working for Zappa, and then the four of them did some nice little drumming with each other.
Yes.
Nothing like a fucking concert.
Yeah.
This concert,
there's
100 of them. Look, you got to realize what you're fucking hearing. Nobody ever in the history of music ever created what Zappa was doing there tonight. John McLaughlin, they don't do it. They're pretty good for a couple songs, but then it's the same all the way through, so they're boring.
Yeah, it's really amazing that they play for so long without a break, and they move from one genre of music to another, and they come back, and then the level of percussion that they do is incredible. It's just it was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the point. You can't deny how that nobody else can do that, or did it.
I mean, the stamina that the musicians must have to be able to play that intensely for so long is just incredible. I can't imagine.
Yeah. Exactly.
In 1984, Zappa played in Toronto, and the next couple of days I was walking down the University of Toronto campus, and someone had stamped all through the central square of the University of Toronto, this statement that said, Frank Zappa cures cancer. Frank Zappa cures cancer. It was all over the place. Well, last night, in the middle of the concert, I suddenly, my sore back, which is caused by synovial fluid replacing the spinal fluid, if you heard it on Ion tonight, yes. He explained that.
And your pineal gland. And your pineal
gland. Yeah, it was a pineal gland interaction, too. And I'm sitting there bouncing to the music, and all of a sudden I noticed I was, like, you know, elevated a little bit, and the ache was gone. So Zappa cured me.
Fabulous.
Bob, are those bootlegs, are they bootlegs that like a fan did, or is that like tapes from Zappa that someone acquired?
No, most of them are audience tapes. There might be an occasional
audience
one
tapes.
That by different people. And this one guy has them all, collected them all. I guess they've been trading them for years, and he brought them all together. And it's over, I mean, there was 125, but VT said there's more there now. But they're incredible. They're not all perfect quality, but there's enough of them that are worth, like, the one we were playing on Tuesday that got cut off and I couldn't play the whole thing, it had a bad, we couldn't make out the lyrics. And you couldn't really make out the lyrics in this one, but the loudness and the blasting power got through.
Boy, he really had an ear for sound, for his sound systems. Because they're poor, but you still get the live concert experience like you're in the really back row, but you can still know the music, you know, and you...
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he always was very expert in making the sound systems be at peak performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have an afternoon sound check for a few hours, you know, before the concert.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
And often, Zappa was so creative, he'd be inventing new songs during the sound check, and they'd get new ideas. The guy never stopped, you have to understand that. He never stopped doing channeling music.
Yeah.
All day and every day.
That concert sounded like a huge orchestra.
Yeah.
It sounded like a huge orchestra. Sound quality.
So at least Susanna recognizes something. You shouldn't say anything, but you're stunned. It's the only sensible response to it.
Well, Bert, there were three sax, a trumpet, and a trombone. So it was like full brass.
Yeah, those horns, the horns were really tight. That's something admirable to, because your horns, you really have to be tight. Especially
and
how
they
change the timbre. Yeah.
They were roaring along.
Yeah, there were places Bob was like, is that a trumpet? Is that a sax? What is making that noise?
Yeah. I think there were five horns. A trumpet, three saxes, and trombone. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
But they were blah, 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 you know, blatting away at different melodies or harmonies or percussive rhythms, different every song.
The speed is inhuman with which they move their fingers across the keys.
Like he got he always got pretty well the top musicians in the world, or in New York, in the States, in L.A.
Yeah, and guitarists.
And like what Susanna brought up, and then the switch and change of the genres of music. They would play one genre and they'd go right into the next one. No stop, no delay.
Now, he has hand signals. I don't know if you can see the hand signals, like when they notice shift. I don't know how they notice shift. I mean, they have some kind of coordinated code, but they just do it so fast. I don't know if he makes a signal or what. Or they know the song is always the same length, so they know how it ends, and then they know on their little piece of paper that's in front of them, they see what the next song is going to be.
Bob, from my...
Yeah, but I don't think...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think they have sheet music because he would need pages and pages. And the one concert you sent me the video of, I didn't notice any sheet music on there. Well, I couldn't see that well, but that it's like, I don't think I've ever seen sheet music in any of the things that he's done that you've done, that you've shared. So that's all memory. So that's, again, that's another phenomenal thing.
What brief exposure that I had when I was a tour manager with my cousin's group, I believe it may be like the drummer, because the drummer carries the beat into the song, so it may be like Frank's coordination with the drummer. He may nod to the drummer or something, because listening to those conversations of how he hired all those drummers, it was amazing to hear that. And how he wanted them to play. So I think it may be, I'm just saying, because I know how my cousin, how he ran his band, he would do some nods to the drummer, and the drummer would start changing the beat, and then the rest of the band would follow.
Yeah.
So it may be the drummers doing that. Because it's amazing how they switch those genres, though. That's a lot of rehearsal.
and they're all yelling and screaming at each other. In the few weeks before they broke up, there's a big battle, personality battle going on behind the scenes. But when it came to play, they dropped all that and performed.
Yeah. Amazing side story when I heard you say that about the arguing right before.
Yeah.
That was right before they split up, that concert.
Yeah, that's May 28th, and they split up June 9th. And I could go in the other room and look it up, see which... You know, how many dates were between the 28th and the 9th.
Wow.
Look at that. Did you get that? Okay, a couple notes. It took some notes. I can come and go at Andromeda.
Yeah.
It says, Bob can't tell. I wasn't supposed to tell anybody this. So that was another... one that snuck through, I think. I have here, Bob can't tell, he can come and go. Ian said, don't tell anybody. But I missed that part, and I played it. So everybody knows. And then when they were singing Stairway to Heaven, the last word was, you know, a foreign language. Remember how it ends, the song? Stairway to or something. And then he said it could be a German word or an Austrian word.
Mm.
See if anybody translated that someday. So if you hear it again, note that. And you can go, anybody, I can post a link. Anybody can go listen to all these bootlegs. Another important point... Ian says, Carolyn knew about telomeres, and I didn't. And then I said, well, I know about the non-physical factors. And then Ian says, I created the non-physical. Now, this whole thing, you heard Ian say that you could be a dark soul?
Yes.
Is one a sense? Do they become all culture? All the things that Ian is saying, I'm doing, is what everybody has to do. Realize about themselves as they ascend. So I'm a model of it. But I'm not the only guy doing it.
There were some interesting words he was saying about you. That you're becoming like a capacitor. It's like a lot of notes. I only took as much notes as I could, but something about that.
I'm the connection for everything. So if you ascend, I don't know how much of an empire you have to manifest, but you have to realize, you have to create a world that you're the center of, the way Ian's describing me. I'm the center of this world, and I'm the one that, quote, connects everybody so they're ascended. I'm the catalyst. I'm the one who came up with the idea. Now, if there are infinite worlds... you should be going through that at some point.
Mm.
If I've been around thousands of years, and I've been ascending as Ophanel, did you catch that? Bob was Bob, and then there's Ophanel, and there's Moses. He connected me back to Moses, which was he originally said the first months of talking to Ion. That I'd never heard before. He never connected me back to Moses because I thought I was over now.
Yeah, he said he set him up for the murder.
Yeah, he said that a long time ago?
No, during tonight.
I set up Moses?
That you set up Moses for murder, and that's why he didn't go into
I framed him. Yeah, I framed him for, now how is he me? Is Ophanel a part of Bob? Moses a part of Bob? Two Bobs? And then this whole metaphor, the slap heard round the world. I made an interesting point. Everybody saw the Oscars. Billions of people looked at the footage of the slap, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people saw that part of the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest attendance ever. So this is what, you know, when Bert's doing, and Carol, when they're doing the physical telomeres stuff, you got to remember the non-physical that's happening too.
Yes, which is the space between everything.
Yeah. And then somebody posted talking about Will Smith. He's the most overrated actor. And so to the degree Will is me, I'm overrated, talentless, numbskull. So Will's even that part of me. And then another time, Biden is going to be not N-O-T. He's going to be given the Soviet erase the person like they did in Egypt. He's going to be erased. I mean, how can anybody, nobody can tolerate that guy now after seeing the way he was in the White House with Obama.
Yeah.
He walks in the room and he puts his arms out and there's nobody there. Then he sort of slowly, dimly looks around like he's fucking drugged. It's so ridiculous.
That was incredible.
Yeah. And how can anybody tolerate that? And the American people are disgusting. They don't fucking immediately demand their politician to get rid of them. You know, today.
Yeah.
And maybe the people are doing that. But it's all, remember, politics is a subculture. One-third of the American people engage it. Then he said, Lawrence Welk is the Frank Zappa of rock and roll. Well, so what would that be? Lawrence Welk was an outsider. You know, he had his ridiculous show in relation to rock and roll. And Zappa is an outsider to all music, not just rock and roll. So Lawrence Welk was the outsider Zappa, the oddball in relation to rock and roll. And then Ralph Doobie had the same dream as me of the big tidal wave.
Hmm.
Did you get that? I mean, it's incredible. I saw the wave. It was so huge. And I thought, I said, well, I was sort of like, it was just coming in the distance, so I felt like I'd be swept into it. But Ian says I escaped. But he said the wave were the millions of people who were going to die. They're compost. They're this wave of something. And there was that was great. Noah, which never had rained before, it rained, all that water happened. That's how oxygen expanded.
Yeah.
Because of the oxygen, the water made a lot of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
You just reminded me of a dream I had of Bert a couple nights ago. It was very brief, but Bert, you were going to email me a photograph of you in theatrical makeup. Because you were playing some character. And in my mind's eye, it was like really dramatic, like kabuki-style makeup. And I was looking forward to getting the photo. And it's funny, too, because, you know, like, you never show your image anywhere, but I was like, well, I guess he can do this one because he's going to be unrecognizable.
That's fucking wild. That would be the other Bert that we were speaking about in the third dimension that when I was doing my session. That would be the other Bert because I couldn't imagine myself putting on acting makeup to be a... Bob, there was something that I am describing about your process. It looked like seems like it appears from those descriptions. And I'll go into it. When you go to the wall, I am was talking about they're running it. They have to run it, and that you're sort of like getting. Because he said something about one time, and you caught the words, and I was perfect because he said that they would absorb you. Did I hear that?
Yeah, the aliens are going to absorb me.
Yeah, they're absorbing. I'm like, what? What is that? And you caught him on that. But that's.
And Ian says that Ian has to be involved in whatever's going to happen, or I'm doomed.
Yes, yes.
So Ian is interfering. Ian is protecting me.
Yes.
And they said we're not here for our health. They're doing a serious thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
And then. The realm, okay, you ask about kingdoms and realms and domains and worlds, all those different words. That's all little man stuff. Then the person doesn't deal with those words.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
And then Ian said that he just mentioned in passing the Hoover Dam. Does that mean the aliens had the technology to make the Hoover Dam, that they gave it to the American government? Catch anything about the mountain?
Yeah, they said that somebody is afraid of them. Basically, they can't be dealt with or moved or whatever. Like,
yeah, you can't beat them. And I think, And I think what's Mount Ararat? Is that Noah?
Crown.
Or
that was the crown. They were referencing the crown. The crown has a concern. They're afraid. The crown is afraid of Bob, and it's because you have the backing of the mountain. Yeah.
The what did I just say? The
Mount
Ararat. Yeah, is that Noah?
I believe.
Is that where the ark is supposed to be? There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said they went from Mount Ararat to the mountain. And then I deleted the rest. It was a other bunch of stuff said, but it gets cut off. It goes, Mount Ararat to the mountain. But
you
know
that you refer to?
Whoever was with Noah, he said that the three sons caused problems. Ham, Japhet, and Shem.
Yeah, Noah's sons. Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Yeah, the three of them.
Aren't those the three that that branched into the major religions, the Jewish,
somebody did. Yeah, I remember that.
Asian, and I forget the third one.
The third, there was Christian, Hebrew, and what is the third one? Muslim. Christians, Jews,
Muslim.
And Muslim.
Yeah.
Another point, we were pissed out of UFO of the aliens.
Didn't
hear long. Humans were pissed out of the aliens. So the aliens, he said they were here long before us.
And Ian changed it because I'm looking at my notes now about invasion, but it changed the whole thing about invasion. That is invitation or invite.
Yeah, they're not invading us. They are imbibing us, or they've been imbibing us. Imbibing.
Yeah,
I-M-B-I-B. Yeah,
imbibing us
and pissing us out. And then he talked about when I